Welcome to the J.P. Shadrick Podcast. Today is Thursday, January 4th, and the playoffs are here. This Sunday, the AFC South Division champion Jacksonville Jaguars host the number 6 seed Buffalo Bills in an AFC wildcard playoff game at Everbank Field. 1:05 is the kickoff time this Sunday, and what a scene it's going to be. We'll get an early listen to what some of the guys are saying in the locker room about the matchup this week, including former Bills defensive tackle Marcell Dareus, now a Jaguar, of course, and Jags quarterback Blake Bortles. Also, Doug Marrone details some of the differences this week compared to the regular season. Also, we'll find out how the Bills got here with the radio voice of the Bills, John Murphy. The team got hot and they found help in Week 17 in the final seconds to send that team to Jacksonville for the wild card playoff. Let's get right to it. The Jags are in the playoffs for the first time since 2007, and they're playing a home playoff game for the first time since 1999. Doug Marrone spoke with the media on New Year's Day, and yes, it's a different feel around the building.
And just like I told our team, you can take all the season. You can take that stuff, and all that stuff is great. This is the start of a different type of season. You know, this is 12 teams, you know, 6 in the AFC, 6 in the NFC. Every one of those teams has overcome something during the year and has earned the right to be here. Every one of those teams is dangerous, and it comes down to how you perform on that Sunday. It really does. So, for me, I'm concentrating on getting this team ready to play its best football, you know, come Sunday.
It's always intense around the building each week, no matter the week, in the regular season as well, so that shouldn't change at all. But a few things will be a bit different.
The routine's the same. You know, I think the focus just naturally picks up. You know, it's, you know, you don't, you want to make sure that there's a lot of communication. It's like you do every week, but you're just checking the boxes maybe one more time. I mean, that's probably it because, you know, to say that, hey, you want to make sure everything's clear, the plan's clear, what we want to do is clear, everyone understands. And the reason why that's a big thing is because when everything is clear, you can play harder and play faster, you know, and those are the things you want to do. You don't want to say that's not what we've been doing during the year. I just think, you know, the focus and everything rises up, and I think the level of play rises up because, you know, now it's, you know, it's, you know, single elimination, and you got all teams that have been through a lot and teams that have earned their way there.
Jags quarterback Blake Bortles gets his first playoff start this week, and he's coming off a season that might not compare to a shiny statistical season from a couple of years ago with yardage and touchdowns and all of that, but he's played better quarterback this year. Good decisions and good form. And now in his fourth season, Bortles knows his first career playoff game will be intense.
You know, I think personally, treat it normal. Go through the week normal, the routine and everything will stay the same. And then when you get the opportunity, you know, it's obviously, I think, going to feel a little different. You know, playing a playoff game in Jacksonville, I think, hasn't happened in a while. So to have that opportunity to play in front of our fans in our city, in our stadium, I think is awesome. You know, so I think that the emotions and the energy in the stadium will probably be a little heightened. But I think as far as what happens between the lines, I'd imagine it's similar. It's probably, you know, maybe a little amped up a little bit. You know, I think everybody kind of realizes that, you know, it's your last chance. You lose, you go home, it's over. So there's no reason or no excuse to not play as hard as you can every single play. You know, so I think our guys do that on a weekly basis anyway. So I'm excited to go out there, and, you know, I know we are for this opportunity.
Bortles is one of many on this Jags roster that will play their first playoff game this Sunday. This Jaguars locker room has only a few starters with playoff experience, though. Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell, they've both played in the Super Bowl. A.J. Boye went with the Texans. Mercedes Lewis, a decade ago with the Jags. Safety Barry Church is another Jaguar with playoff experience with the Cowboys. And he knows the experience in that room will help.
Oh, it helps a group a ton. I mean, if you go into the playoffs with no one on your team with experience, I mean, you're not going to have an understanding of how different the speed level is once you get out there. Regular season speed is pretty fast in its own, but when you got guys putting it all on the line like it is for the playoffs, I mean, it comes to a whole nother level. So that's what the guys that have been in the playoffs before, that's what we're trying to basically tell the younger guys, that, hey, this is going to be a totally different type of game, but I believe that they're ready for it.
Church collected 4 interceptions in the regular season and was a big part of the Jags' run defense as well. This is a different feeling for many in the building this week, but it doesn't get much weirder than for defensive tackle Marcell Dareus. He was traded from the Bills to the Jags midseason, and now he gets to see them again during his first career playoff game.
It's hard to say it isn't, but, you know, I'm just happy for the opportunity, man. It's just crazy. And God is funny, and you just don't question his work. Just do your job. They had to make a move, and it's business. I mean, but it can't act like it doesn't hurt.
Does it still hurt? I mean, do you still think about it? Does it still?
Oh, no. It's just just ironic that we have to see these guys, and it just kind of it brings up old memories.
Darius has been a nice addition to this Jaguars defense. His play's been good, but his presence might have been almost as important. Having another player in the group gave Malik Jackson and Avery Jones a little competition and increased their level of play on the interior. Darius got a start and some more playing time last week with Avery Jones out, and it will be fun to see him play against his old team this week. Now to the Jaguars' offense. The Jags finished the season as the number one rushing offense in the NFL, but over the last few weeks, they really didn't have that feel. It's been a bit of a struggle to get the run game moving consistently. Is it Leonard Fournette? Is it the offensive line? Is it the 17 guys they face in the box all the time? Well, on Jaguars Monday radio earlier this week, airing on Tuesday, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco and Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli had their thoughts about where the Jags' run game is heading into the playoffs.
What they did early, which was it stood out as an offensive line, they stayed on blocks. They finished blocks. And I don't think they're doing that as well. But I also, Pete, I don't think Leonard Fournette's right. I mean, do you see the explosiveness, the finishing the run, making guys miss? You know this, the great backs, and we saw this out of him early, you're going to be one-on-one with guys in, when they have eight in the box. And it's making that guy miss and turning a 3 or 4 yard carry into 10-15.
Well, that's I mean, always been my biggest criticism of him, even going back to last year. I didn't think he was a wiggle guy, and he isn't.
No.
Some of the runs that he misses, old 28 would have hit him. He would have.
Two different backs.
Right, but, well, there's still two-thirds. Both of them are two. You know, you think Leonard Fournette is this big, giant back. 28 was 232, you're right? Yeah. I mean, he wasn't right. A little guy. What is Fournette listed at?
I'll look it up. Stand by.
Well, Fred was 230, ran 4.240.
At some point, he was a little over 230.
And he went side to side at 4.1.
I mean, you can't teach that.
228 is what he's listed
okay,
at.
Okay, and okay, he's listed at 228, and you look at him and you go, big physical, punishing
Fred was,
back.
Fred was big, too.
But you didn't think of Fred as a big
punishing
back.
No, because he was
back.
So fast and
right.
Elusive.
Right. So I'm with Tony. I don't think Fournette is close to being what he's been or what he should be. And maybe it's the injury. Maybe it's lack of reps when he missed the time. He was more comfortable early in the season. Maybe the offensive line isn't playing well. Maybe he's frustrated by seeing 14 guys every time he takes a handoff. I mean, there's a lot of things at play there.
But most good running teams see eight in the box.
True. You got to win against those.
I'm tired of hearing that excuse. It's not like the Jaguars are the only team facing eight in the box looks.
No.
I mean, come on. Everyone runs. No, first and second down, most teams are running the safety in the box.
And at times in the second half of the season, they've made teams pay for having that look.
That's right.
So, he's got to be better. The line's got to be better. Got to run the ball better.
Interesting thoughts. More with Prisco and Boselli coming up Monday night at 6 on 1010XL Radio, Jaguars.com, and the Jags app and social media. Now to the Buffalo Bills, who snuck in the playoffs for the first time since 1999 with a wild ending of games in Week 17. Here's how it ended in Miami on Sunday for the Bills. John Murphy on the call for Bills Radio.
2 seconds, 1 second, that's it. The Bills survive a late rush by the Dolphins. Not unlike the game 2 weeks ago, really. Buffalo wins it 22-16 over the Miami Dolphins. The Bills finish the season 9-7. The Dolphins drop to 6-10. And we wait. The results from Baltimore.
That Bengals-Ravens game was back and forth in the final quarter. The Ravens were in the playoffs with a win. The Bills were in the playoffs with the Ravens' loss. The Bengals faced 4th-and-12 at the Ravens' 49-yard line, and Jerry Sandusky had the call with analyst Stan White on Baltimore Ravens Radio.
Andy Dalton takes the snap. Steps up, fires down the middle, complete! At the 15-10-5, touchdown,
oh
Cincinnati!
Oh my
Tyler
God.
Boyd with a touchdown! No flags on the play, and disbelief has shrouded the stadium.
Oh, my gosh.
A stunning defeat for the Ravens set off a massive celebration in that Bills locker room in Miami as the entire team watched it live in that locker room. Bills fans all over in bars or wherever they were watching the game tweeted videos of celebrations, and for the Bills, it's their first playoff bid since 99. Let's hear more from the voice of the Bills, John Murphy. What a crazy way to end the regular season and get in the playoffs. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to you. You're right. It was wild. We were talking about it earlier today, how it was just about as dramatic as it could ever be, to be honest with you, for the Bills to kind of go down to the wire in their game and then to have to wait another 15-20 minutes until the the Bengals wound up beating Baltimore, it's hard to imagine it being any more dramatic than it was on Sunday.
Now, we saw the Bills team celebration. We saw the fans celebrating in bars wherever they were watching the game.
Yeah.
What did John Murphy do to celebrate?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. We wrapped up our broadcast with Bills and the Dolphins, and for a while, you know, we're doing a little postgame recap. There's an entire, just like you guys do, there's an entire postgame radio show coming up, and I wasn't quite sure, do I hang with this until the Bengals game ends, or do I get out? And I figured I better get out. You don't know how long that game's going to go. And when we signed off the air from Miami anyway, I said, hey, maybe we've got a game next week, maybe we don't. Stay tuned. And so myself, my producer, my color man, Mark Kelso, and our spotter stayed in the radio booth in Miami and watched the Bengals. And, you know, it was bleak. I mean, there's 4th and 12. We're like, and in my mind, I didn't verbalize this, but I'm thinking, all right, you've seen this. We know how this ends. And all of a sudden, they make that big touchdown play on 4th and 12. We went nuts in the radio booth. There were other people up around there, including the Dolphins broadcasters, who were giving us thumbs up and pounding on the walls. I think we made a lot of noise at that point, quite frankly. And eventually, I made my way down to the locker room, caught the tail, not the tail end. I caught maybe the 10 minutes after the game ended. I was down there, and the locker room was really emotional. I mean, I was just thinking about how many people, players, staffers, top administrators were crying, you know, tears in their eyes, because it's been so long, 17 seasons without a playoff berth. And, of course, the plane ride home's been well documented. You know, that was pretty wild. I've never seen anything like that. And then to get home at 1 in the morning, it was at 1 degree above zero, and there were probably 1,000 Bills fans at Buffalo Airport waiting on New Year's Eve, 1 degree. I mean, that just kind of was the icing on the cake. That just blew me away. So it was a memorable 12-hour span or so. It was really pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's a generation of Bills fans that have never been to the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. 17 seasons, yeah. It's been long. And it's, you know, it's not like they've been the dregs of the league for those 17 seasons. They've been close. You know, they won 9 games with Coach Marone a couple years ago and won 9 games with Mike Mularkey a little bit, you know, 10 years ago or so, maybe 13 years ago. You know, they've been on the fringes of playoff contention and almost defied logic that they would not be able to sneak in. But finally, you know, all the tumblers fell into place, and they opened the playoff lock, and it's been certainly too long coming, but there they are.
John Murphy with us, the voice of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills and the Jags coming up Sunday in the AFC wildcard playoff game. This is a strange season in Buffalo. There was that feel middle way with the trade deadline coming. They sent, you know, the players out. They bring Kelvin Benjamin in. They benched the quarterback at one point. That didn't go so well. And then all of a sudden they fire off some wins at the end of the season. It was, from the outside, it almost looked like, oh, gosh, here go the Bills. They're going to tank the season. It's all over. But then they found a way somehow in December to get this thing done. How did it turn around from that bleak in the middle of the season to the fantastic finish?
Yeah, I mean, even the bad news kind of started even, well, not bad news, but it was upheaval all along when the new coach came in. But right after the first preseason game back in August, I want to say August 10th or 11th, they traded away their best receiver, Sammy Watkins, and arguably their best corner in Ronald Darby. And they got players in return and draft picks. But a lot of people were thinking, well, they're not interested in winning this year. But they were, and they just kind of plugged away. Started the season 5-2 with a pretty good win at Atlanta against the Falcons and a couple of other nice wins in there. And at 5-2, Sean McDermott, you know, with a struggling offense and a passing offense that struggled badly, pulled the plug on Tyrod Taylor and put in the rookie, Nathan Peterman, who threw 5 first-half interceptions against the Chargers. And they went, you know, lost that game. They had 3 straight losses. That was one of them. They got steamrolled by the New Orleans Saints here in Buffalo, which was a really brutal loss. And then the Chargers lost. They were on the brink. You know, they went from 5-2 and with a playoff spot to 5-5 and in trouble. And they went out and kind of gutted out a victory at Kansas City on November 26th. Since then, I think they won 4 of their last 6 games. The only 2 losses coming to the Patriots. Just sort of gutted it out, you know, weathered the storm through some injuries, traded, you know, and the trade deadline, as you mentioned, October 31st, traded away Marcell Dareus, picked up Kelvin Benjamin right around that time. So it's just, I've never seen a season like that with that much upheaval, that many chances to sort of fold up. And yet, I think I give Sean McDermott the credit for most of this. They just sort of hung in there and kept on plugging away and wound up just barely squeaking in. It was pretty impressive.
John Murphy with us, voice of the Buffalo Bills. Well, of course, last week, LeSean McCoy carted off the field. Well, it's really not that hard to say what he means to this Bills offense. He means about 36% of the offense this season.
Yeah.
And if he's not available, that's trouble for Buffalo, I'm sure.
Yeah, leading receiver, leading rusher. He's really the engine that gives them whatever offensive production they get. And we'll see how it goes. You know, they haven't given any practice updates yet. Sean McDermott said Monday that he feels somewhat encouraged, but it probably is going to go right down to the wire on Sunday, whether he can play or not with an ankle injury. So we'll see. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they lost their second running back, Travaris Cadet, a veteran guy who's bounced around the league a little bit, and he's out for the year. And a guy named Marcus Murphy, who has bounced around the league and got his first action with the Bills last Sunday in Miami. So I don't know. It's hard to imagine the Bills having any success without a viable running game, and it's hard to figure how viable that will be without LeSean McCoy. We'll see how it plays out this week.
Tyrod Taylor is the next best rushing option by yardage, at least, and that's never good news if the quarterback is the next guy up that you really have to rely on. So everybody's got to kind of rally around Tyrod Taylor here, it seems like, on offense and make some plays.
Yeah, and he's capable, you know, made a couple of big plays against Miami last week, and, you know, they're slowly, gradually finding a way to make big chunk plays, some big passing plays, you know, downfield. It's been interesting to watch, you know, Kelvin Benjamin was acquired midseason on trade deadline day, October 31st, and then he got hurt, and then there was a time when he and Tyrod were not in the lineup together, I believe, and I'll check my math later, but I think the two of them in the second half of the season have started a total of four games together. And over the last couple of weeks, there have been pretty good signs that Tyrod is beginning to feel comfortable with Benjamin, beginning to realize, you know, the incredible catch radius that Kelvin Benjamin has. There are a couple of passes in Buffalo's loss to at New England on Christmas Eve that demonstrated that. And he's a dangerous weapon. He won't, you know, burn you downfield, but he's so tall and so big, and if you put the ball up, he'll usually come down with it. And I think there are pretty good encouraging signs developing that Tyrod Taylor feels comfortable doing that, so we'll see.
John Murphy with us, voice of the Buffalo Bills. Defensively, it's a group that ranks 26th overall in the league this year, 29th against the run. What is it about the run defense that struggled this season for Buffalo? And Darius was sent packing down here to Jacksonville. But other than that, what has happened on the run defense for the Bills this year?
Yeah, that's a difficult question because I didn't, going into the year, especially in the preseason, they were so strong defensively against the run in particular, and even early in the season, and things deteriorated. You know, they're not real big up front, you know, front seven. They don't have a ton of bulk or a ton of size. I think that plays into it. They traded away some of that size and a big chunk of their talent when they traded away Marcel Darius back in late October. You know, a move that I think Sean McDermott and the Bills were interested in doing just because they weren't sure he fit into the culture they're trying to build here. And I think they found a willing trade partner, and you know, it certainly was a factor and has been a factor in how they play the run and how they play defense overall. But I think they feel long-term they're okay without Marcel Darius. But we'll see. You know, I mean, he's a talented, talented player, and I think a pretty good kid, actually. And he's had his troubles, obviously, off the field, but I've always been a Marcel Darius fan. But losing him, trading him away, has been a factor in how they play defensively, especially against the run, I think.
Are the folks in Buffalo past the Doug Marrone thing?
I would say yes. You know, we've had Sean McDermott's the second coach since Coach Marrone left here. The circumstances of his departure, I think, rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I was always good with Coach Marrone, feel pretty good about him, and had a good working relationship with him when he's here in Buffalo. And I've talked to him a couple of times at the Combine and a couple other places since then. And, you know, I guess I understand why he pulled the plug and got out. I mean, there was some uncertainty with new ownership in at the time. But, I mean, I don't think there's any real grudge as far as Doug Marrone, and I think people have moved on, you know, with, as I said, two coaches since then, Rex Ryan and now, of course, Sean McDermott.
Storyline throughout the week, though. You'll hear about it from here until game day, both him and Marcel Darius facing the Bills again. Just a final thought here, John. What is the Buffalo look at the Jaguars? What's the feeling about this Jaguars football team, the AFC South champions, as they prepare to host the Bills this Sunday?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't If I, you know, as we speak early in the week, especially after a holiday, and especially after the kind of magical nature of the Bills' entry to the playoffs, from a fan standpoint, I'm getting the sense, just from the radio shows I do, that people are still kind of basking in the glow of ending the long playoff drought and the miracle way that they found themselves in the playoffs. I do know, and McDermott's a master at this, he'll have them ready to play. The players now I'm talking about, not the fans, clearly. But as we speak on Tuesday, I know that those Bills players are in the process, probably deep into the process of putting the win over the Dolphins and the circumstances of their entry to the playoffs, putting that behind them and focusing on the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know people I've talked to, players on this team, and, you know, some fans have a really healthy respect for what Jacksonville's done, you know, the great defense, their ability to rush the passer, There's a lot of Paul Posluszny fans up here in Buffalo still. He was a great player here in Buffalo, and I think an even better player down there in Jacksonville. You know, I have vivid memories of the game 2 years ago up here. I think the Bills beat the Jags by 7 up here in November of 2016, but they were a handful even back then, you know, and they Telvin Smith and Paul Posluszny caused tons of problems for the Buffalo offense on that day, and there's no reason why that might not continue. Obviously, number one rushing attack in the NFL, you know, with Fournette and, you know, the great changeup back in Chris Ivory. Yeah, there's healthy respect here. And I think as the week goes along, Bills fans will come around to actually acknowledging how what a good year Jacksonville has had and how talented that roster is. A ton of first-round draft picks and really, really good players there. So I think people know they're going to have their hands full.
Great to hear from the voice of the Bills, John Murphy. Busy week ahead around Jacksonville. Keep an eye out for the Jaguars' rolling caravan tour this week at local Dunkin' Donuts and Firehouse Subs locations. If you see the caravan and you're wearing Jags gear, they could buy you breakfast or lunch. On Friday evening, the caravan will roll to some of the bars at Jack's Beach and buy Bud Light for fans wearing Jaguars gear. Keep an eye out for that caravan on Thursday and Friday. Also on Friday, Mayor Lenny Curry will host the Bills Bustin' Bash at Daly's Place. The pregame pep rally kicks off at 5 o'clock. Mayor Curry, Jags owner Shad Khan, Jags alumni players, the roar of the Jags, the D-line, they're all expected to attend. Register to attend for free at jaguars.com/mayorsbash. Now the broadcast schedule this week. Thursday night, the Doug Marrone Show on the Jaguars Radio Network. That's at 6 o'clock, followed by Jaguars Thursday on 1010XL Radio in Jacksonville starting at 7. Both shows will video simulcast on Jaguars.com, the Jags app, and Jags social media. Jaguars Drive Time airs Friday morning on TuneIn Radio. And then on Sunday, it's game day. The AFC Wildcard Playoff game features the Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The prize? A trip to Pittsburgh for an AFC Divisional Playoff game next week. Kickoff time at 1.05 p.m. We're on the air at 10 o'clock with the Public's Tailgate Show on 1010XL Radio. That's followed at noon by Countdown to Kickoff on the Jaguars Radio Network. All also air on Jaguars.com and the Jags app as well. Our thanks to the voice of the Bills, John Murphy, for his time this week. And as always, thanks to Jags manager of radio, Joe Fortunato. We'll catch you next time on the J.P. Shadrick Podcast.